going to get copies of these sheets or something?
What? I could try to send it to you. Okay, so the Gemara is dealt with Reb Shimon's Chiddush, just reviewing the Chiddush, because we're still not finished. We've got one more lesson to go with him. So Reb Shimon took all the clauses of this Pasuk and taught us five unique halachos, starting with Bikurim, that if you eat the Bikurim before the Psukim are read, you get lashed. Then he continued with other various halachos about a Bechor, if you eat it, or rather Toda and Shlomim, if a Yisrael eats it before the sprinkling of the blood, or a Bechor, if a coin eats it after this Rika, a non-coin eats it after this Rika, a Chatas and an Asham, if a coin eats it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and an Ola, if it's eaten even after this Rika, even in the Beis HaMikdash, you get lashed. And then we said, how did he derive all these? Why didn't he learn the simple pshat? Because each one could have been learned from a Kal V'chomer, from Bikurim, and from other cases. And that's why each one had to teach us a separate law. Of course, the simple interpretation is, if you eat any of these things outside Yerushalayim, you get lashed. But we had all these other new halachas that he deduced, because there's nothing else to learn from stating them. To which yesterday, the rabbi said, well, you're a genius for coming up with this crafty way, clever way of deducing by the order of your interpretations, but every one of the Kal V'chomers is broken. So at this point in the game, we have two issues here. Reb Shimon seemed to say that each clause was teaching us you get lashed for that unique situation. So that seems to be gone because the Kal V'chomers were broken. So the Gemara, before we're going to get back to that, because is Rabbi Shimon totally refuted or not? Well, we can't say he's totally refuted, because the Gemara said that our Mishnah that said he eat Bikurim before the coin eats the Bikurim before the Psukim already gets lashed. And he deduced that from a Kal V'chomer here. And we said our Mishnah, there is a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon. So what are we going to do with that? We'll come back to that a little later this morning. But now the Gemara is going to hit Rabbi Shimon with a second, more fundamental question. Rabbi Shimon said, well, let's say, for example, Bikurim, let's just stick with the Bikurim, because it was the first of the Kal V'chomers, okay, so that's the grayish box. So he said, well, Bikurim, the pasuk over there, Trumas Yadecha, about Bikurim, cannot be telling me merely, you can't eat Bikurim outside of Yerushalayim. I know that from a Kal V'chomer. Okay, so what does he want to say, I know from the Kal V'chomer? This pasuk is the warning. This is the pasuk of the warning, because the pasuk begins and says, "Lo sucha lecho, you may not eat them bisharecha outside Yerushalayim." That, remember, every law in the Torah has to have a warning and b a punishment. Now, the punishment of lashes doesn't have to be repeated over and over and over and over, because we already know somewhere else in the Torah that if you transgress a lav, any lav, you get lashed. So we don't have to single out each and every lav gets the punishment. We know once it's a lav with an action, it gets lashed. That we know. But you need the warning. So now the Gemara is going to say, I don't understand Reb Shimon from the beginning. Forget about breaking the Kal V'chomers. Forget about that, which we've done. How could he even begin to say that Bikurim, we know, gets lashed for eating out of your shrine because of a Kal V'chomer? There's a fundamental problem with that, which is the Gemara asks, "Vechi mashirin minadin?" Can you establish a warning on the base of a Kal V'chomer? If you recall, long ago we had a discussion if you can punish from a Kal V'chomer, and we said you can't punish from a Kal V'chomer. That's the punishment part of the Torah.
Right.
So now the Gemara just takes it one step earlier. Can you warn somebody from a Kal V'chomer? Can we do that? Right? Because we can't. And this is the general rule.
So
it's a general rule that no act is punishable biblically until the Torah contains a warning of the negative commandment. Now, the basis for all of Reb Shimon's arguments in the Braisa is the premise that a prohibition derived through a Kal Vachomer is punishable by Malkus, as this leads him to derive a new prohibition for each item listed. Right? He said, well, I don't need the post to tell me that Bikurim can't be eaten outside of Yerushalayim, because I know that from a Kal Vachomer from Maaser Sheni, and therefore he comes up with a new halacha. But the Gemara, however, objects to the notion that a Kal Vachomer satisfies the requirement of a scriptural warning for any sort of penalty. Mm-hmm. Thus, all the items must be listed, so it will be an explicit prohibition against eating any of them outside Yerushalayim. And none of the references are unnecessary in this context. Okay? Now, although we often derive laws through the method of Kal Vachomer, this does not meet the criteria for a warning. There's laws and warnings. So how can you tell me, oh, I don't need the pasuk to tell me that Bikurim can't eat Nasir Risham? I know that from a Kal Vachomer, they're going to learn something else that you can lash and eat it before you read the psukim. How can you even do that? We don't warn someone from a Kal Vachomer. And even though there's a machlokas by another case, ha'afilu l'mandamar own shimin adin, even though there is a machlokas, can you give the punishment via a Kal Vachomer? In other words, let's say you have the warning, but you don't have the punishment. So we're going to say that there is an opinion that says you can punish via a Kal Vachomer. Mm-hmm. However, yes, even though there is such an opinion, but everybody agrees, ein masir min adin. You can't warn out of a Kal Vachomer. Okay? Now, but hold on. Hold on. Let's read the next note. Okay. Can I not read the next note?
Yeah.
Right? A braisa cited above long ago in the first parak states that we cannot establish either the warning or the punishment from any transgression on the base of a Kal Vachomer. For there to be a punishment, it's necessary that Torah state the warning and the punishment explicitly. The braisa derives this from the fact that Torah explicitly prohibits incest with both a half-sister and a full-sister. Remember? And then explicitly states that each one of these is punishable by Kares. Right? Now, obviously, if a half-sister, we think from a Kal Vachomer perspective, if you're warned that you can't have a relationship with your half-sister, and the punishment is kares for a half-sister, why would I have to mention any of that for a full-sister? That's up. No, we have to mention anyway, because you can't derive the warning or the punishment. Now, once the Torah prohibits incest with a half-sister and declares the act punishable by kares, it would be logical to conclude that incest with a full-sister is certainly prohibited and subject to this penalty. No, since the Torah expressly forbids incest with a full sister as well, and explicitly states that this act too is punished by Karis, the price deduces that neither a prohibition nor a punishment can be derived by a Kal Vachomer. That was that price. That's one opinion. However, in the second, third chapter, Mor cites the Tana of Yitzchak, who uses the verse from which the price derives the punishment of Karis for incest with a full sister to teach another law altogether. Which I'm not going to go back into that. Accordingly, he must derive the kares punishment for a full sister from that of a half sister. Apparently, he holds that punishments can be derived by a Kal Vachomer. Okay, so there's a machlokas if punishments can be derived, because you already have the warning. You already have the warning. Warnings cannot be from a Kal Vachomer. But let's say you have a warning for a half sister and a warning for a full sister. And then it gives you the punishment for the half sister. Then we could say, of a Kal Vachomer, you're going to get punished. That's a machlokes if we can say a Kal Vachomer by the punishment. Nevertheless, even he does not expound the superfluous verse concerning the prohibition of sisterly incest to teach something else. By the warning, he says it has to be explicitly said. Evidently, then, he concedes that warnings cannot be derived from a Kal Vachomer. So it's going to refute all of Reb Shimon's arguments. All right, for discussion of reason why our case might be okay, etc. Anyway, it comes out like this. There is a machlokas. Everybody holds that a warning cannot be established from a Kal Vachomer. When the Torah says you cannot sleep with your half-sister, although I could have said a Kal Vachomer, so of course there's a warning I can't sleep with my full-sister, yet the Torah explicitly says you can't sleep with your full-sister, clearly telling us I can't deduce a warning from a Kal Vachomer. But then when it comes to the punishment of for being with a half-sister, it mentions it. And then there's a machlokas if the punishment mentioned by the full-sister was necessary or not. One opinion says even the punishment cannot be derived from a Kal Vachomer. Others say the punishment can. Why? Because they already have the warning. They already have the warning, then what do I have to say again? The punishment. Okay, but every Everybody agrees. The warning cannot be with a Kal Vachomer. So therefore, over here, Reb Shimon, we're dealing with warnings. The Torah is saying, thou shalt not eat this outside Yerushalayim. That's the warning. Mm-hmm. So how could Rabbi Shimon say, well, I'm a Kal Vachomer. If I know Maaser Sheni can't be eaten out of Yerushalayim, certainly Bikurim not. Forget about the questions we had on the logic of the Kal Vachomer. We know everybody agrees you cannot derive a warning from a Kal Vachomer. And therefore, how does his whole teaching begin at all? Now, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to take.
I like to see how he gets out of this one. He must have come out of this.
Okay. So is there a resolution to the
question? An answer is coming up. You cannot deduce a warning from a Kal Vachomer. So we've hit Reb Shimon two ways. Number one, the actual Kal Vachomer logic we've refuted. But now we're taking a more basic question. More basic question is, how could he even have thought that there's a Kal Vachomer on a warning at all? Everybody agrees you cannot deduce a warning via a Kal Vachomer. So that totally knocks him out.
So Rav Shimon's argument.
No, now we're going to give an answer.
This guy's brilliant.
We've got to get to the next point.
One other thing before we move on. We said that you can deduce a law from a Kal Vachomer, but not a warning.
No, a law, but not a punishment. There's laws and punishments.
Once you do the...
A law is one thing. A punishment is another.
Okay, so once you state the law, and it's from a Kal Vachomer, isn't that the warning? I mean, to say you can't do this is a warning.
No, okay, that doesn't have to be you can't. It could be you can. It could be other things. Laws are not necessarily warnings.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see
not necessarily warnings. But I don't want to go there. That's getting us off the topic here. Let's just try to stay a little focused here. So Gemara comes up with a big answer, a big finish. Even though Rabbi Shimon couched the whole brisa by saying, well, because of this Kal Vachomer, we're going to lash you for eating Bikurim before it's read. Even though he used the word lashes, I want to say he never meant that lashes means real lashes. But what he meant to say is, Isura Ba'alma, that Kal Vachomer on the warning is merely to say you transgress a lav, but it's not a full-fledged lav to get lashed. In other words, he's saying the following. He agrees you cannot lash via a warning. Okay, you can't warn via Kal Vachomer that will ultimately give you lashes. He agrees to that. He has to concede that point. Yeah. When he said you get lashed, he didn't mean lashing. And we'll have to... It's a wordy issue here. He didn't mean lashing. He meant you just transgress a lav that does not come with lashes. There are some lav, and not every lav gets lashed. Not every negative prohibition comes with lashing. We know, for example, a lav without an action doesn't come with lashes. He's just saying that if you agree that there is a Kal Vachomer, if we'll accept that Kal Vachomer, even though we've knocked it off. But all he meant to say is that if you would eat Bikurim before the Pasuk is read, there's telling you that you are transgressing a negative commandment, but you won't get lashed for it. That's already a new nuance. To lash a guy from a Kal Vachomer, that's pretty steep. Or to assume we have the warning for the lashing from a Kal Vachomer, that's pretty steep. But just to tag on a lav, just to say he's gone against the will of God, but not to the extent to get lashed, that's all he meant. And that you could derive from a Kal Vachomer. Just to give him a negative avera without lashes, that's what he meant to say. That's what it's going to say below. The principle that a warning cannot be derived from Kal Vachomer means only that no punishment can be administered on the basis of such a warning. But the Kal Vachomer sevinim just show that the act is prohibited. There's two levels. Is it prohibited to do? And then can we punish you for that? There are things in the Torah that are prohibited, but you don't get lashed. So he's saying a Kal Vachomer can teach you that something's prohibited, but not to get lashed. Thus, you don't get lashed. He's saying, we know there's many lavim in the Torah that don't come with lashes. We know that anyway. A lav she'ein bo ma'aseh that has no action doesn't get lashed. You still did an avera. Just because you don't get punished doesn't mean it's a sin.
But there's an action.
When we say you don't lash from a kal vachomer, or we don't establish the warning for lashes from a kal vachomer. Lashing someone from a kal vachomer is pretty steep. But to just say you went against the will of God, which requires merely tshuva, that you could get from a kal vachomer. That's his position. Thus, when Rav Shimon derives many of the prohibitions from the advice of kal vachomer, he means that kal vachomer teaches that each of these acts is prohibited, and the explicit verse must in each case but be coming to prohibit something else. Rav Shimon concedes, however, that Malchus is not incurred for violating any of these additional prohibitions. That's what he wanted to say. You transgress a lav, but not the prohibition. Now, it's very interesting. If you play this out, according to Rav Shimon, then two levels of prohibitions are contained in this verse. On the first level, all the items must be listed to teach that they may not be eaten outside Yerushalayim on pain of Malchus. That's the express statement of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, thou shalt not do the following. You shall not eat Meiser Sheni out of Yerushalayim. What happens if you get lashed? All of these, you can't change the Pasuk shot in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, thou shalt not eat Meiser Sheni out of Yerushalayim. Thou shalt not eat Bikurim outside of Yerushalayim. Okay, so you can't. You can't eat outside of Yerushalayim. Right? Had each item not been listed explicitly, Malchus would not be incurred for such a transgression, despite the existence of a kal vachomer in the case of Meiser Sheni, because punishment is not imposed on the basis of kal vachomer. So you have to go with the push-up shot, or else you can't lash him. But Shimon asserts that on another level, the listing of each item alludes to an additional prohibition. Why? Since the forbidden nature of the first level prohibitions can already be derived by kal vachomer to make it at least prohibited, although not lashed, then the mention of each item alludes that some added prohibition pertains to it. Rav Shimon concludes each segment of the Brice by stating, rather, the verse comes only to teach that one who eats, blah, 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 incurs Malchus. He does not mean literally that the sinner incurs Malchus, but actually that he violates a prohibition. So what he is saying is as follows. He's saying, the Pashup shot is, on any one of those six activities, you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, you will get lashed. That is the simple meaning. You can't turn that away. That's what Torah says. You shall not eat Meiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. You shall not eat Bikurim outside of Yerushalayim. That's for sure. He's just saying, since the warning, just the fact that it's usser, that I could know from a kal vachomer. I wouldn't know the lashes from a kal vachomer, but I could know it would be prohibited from a kal vachomer. So in a certain way, it must be alluding to something else. And that something else is that other halacha that he is saying. But he doesn't mean to say that I would indeed have lashed and got the warning from a kal vachomer. That he agrees, you can't do that. Right? But on the other hand, I would know that it's prohibited from a kal vachomer. I would know that it's prohibited, not lashed. So once I already know it's prohibited from a kal vachomer, why is Torah got to tell it to me? So you're going to say, well, to lash him. Yeah, but I would still know the prohibition. And since I would know the prohibition, there must be something else alluded to. Now, the bigger problem is, but he says, though you get lashed. But we only want to say only an iser. Rifo explains that in this context, Rav Shimon's expression loka literally incurs Malchus can be understood as meaning he is afflicted. Malchus can have two meanings. Malchus can mean lashed or afflicted. So that's another meaning, and there's other sources in the Torah where the word loka does not mean lashed but means afflicted. So Malchus could have a second meaning. It's not the main meaning, but a secondary meaning.
What do you mean by afflicted?
Oh, so the sinner suffers the consequence of violating a prohibition. He's afflicted by being a sinner.
He sinned.
If we say you've sinned, that's all. That already is an affliction.
Heavenly punishment, affliction, or?
You're not in God's good graces. Let's say, I insult you, Sammy. Right? Now, what if you have a hot-tempered person? You know what happens after I insult you? You smash me in the face.
Right.
I got afflicted, right?
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Okay, what if you're not such a hot-tempered guy, and I insulted you?
Right.
The relationship still ain't going to be the same.
You're
right? When I ask you for a favor, oh, I don't know if I want to do you a favor.
So that's affliction.
That's also an affliction. When you transgress a negative prohibition, that distances you from Hashem.
Yeah.
If we appreciated what being close to Hashem was, and how you lose that by sinning, you'd understand that you were afflicted. But the problem is, we do sins, we don't think anything's changed. Right? But the fact is, things have changed. Right? So, therefore, that's all he was trying to tell us. And therefore, in the other cases, not that you get lashed, but he means that you have a certain type of affliction. So that's what he meant. Okay, so you're telling me no lashes over here. Well, now we got a problem. So far, we sort of getting Reb Shimon out of the woods a little bit. But he's saying that it's only regarding the warning aspect. Okay, in other words, that the guy has done a prohibition and not with lashes. Therefore, I can deduce other halachas. Okay, so it gets us out a little bit, but we still have this still not going to make sense. Because what did Rava quote in the name of Reb Shimon, a very interesting halacha? Vama Rava, Rava says, how about the following? Zor, look, we're going to combine a whole bunch of things now. Zor, a non-Kohen, she'ochel min ha'ola, who eats an ola. That's strike number one, right? Lifnei zrika, before the sprinkling of the blood, strike number two. Chutz lachoma, outside the walls of Jerusalem, strike number three. But it's going to be more than three strikes. There's a little bit more than that, because he's done a few other things. According to Reb Shimon, who made all these deductions and learned these five separate prohibitions, remember? So he says, L'Reb Shimon, like a chamesh, you're going to get five lashes, not just prohibitions. We tried to answer, all he wants to say is it's prohibited, but not lashed, right? Mm-hmm. But he says five lashes. Let's look at what they are.
Five
different sets of lashes by this one action. Because remember, he made all those kalvachomers, he taught all those halachas, and lashes. And we're saying, well, how do you... Well, he never meant to say you get lashed. He only meant to say that you did something wrong. But one, for eating it outside Yerushalayim. That was outside the walls. Number two, eating before the blood was thrown on the altar. That was mentioned. Three, eating it though he's a non-Kohen. Those are the three that were obvious. But there's another two. If you're also eating it outside the courtyard.
Why does it matter?
You can't eat it. But it's kachim. Kachim. No kachim can be eaten out of the courtyard.
Yeah.
And certainly out of Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
And finally, eating ola meat under any circumstances is prohibited. So you got five separate prohibitions. You see, you can't eat any korbanos outside Jerusalem.
Yeah,
number no matter what the korban is, can be out of Jerusalem. You can't eat any korban before the blood is sprinkled. Separate prohibition. You can't eat kachim if you're a non-Kohen. Number four, you can't eat any kachim outside of the courtyard.
Clearly.
And you can't eat an ola, period.
You have to burn it.
So it comes out, there's five prohibitions. And those are the five, those kalvachomers that he was learning.
Yeah.
Right? So, how do you get lashed? We were saying all he wanted to do is to say it's prohibited, but you don't get lashed. Right. But he says clearly lashed. Well, he didn't mean that. So he's saying, Chamish Yisrael, he meant five prohibitions, right? And so when he says lashes again, it means the other figurative lashing, right? Rava means only that there are five prohibitions violated according to Shimon, and he employs the expression of incurs five malchus to describe the number of transgressions that the act involves. Actually, however, the violator incurs malchus only for prohibition that is explicitly stated eating outside of Yerushalayim, based on what we said before, that the word lashing can mean that you are afflicted and not lashed. Okay, so we're still, so far, okay, he never meant to say you're getting lashed per se. All he wanted to say is that we can warn and make a warning, not a warning, to say it's prohibited without lashes. And even though he said five lashes, he didn't mean lashes. He meant, when he said it, still not out of the woods. Why? Because now a lot of these halachas, two of these halachas, are exactly what we said in our Mishnah. Now, Reb Shimon can call what he wants and say, well, I said lashes, but I mean afflicted. But remember, let's go back to our original Mishnah that says these get lashed. And all those cases, a bunch of cases, you get really lashed. It's real lashes. A lot of cases. We've been every case of our Mishnah, all the Mishnahs in the third chapter. It doesn't mean it's prohibited. It's lashed. And two of the five that Reb Shimon says, one of the only means prohibited, the Mishnah says lashed. But we learned in our Mishnah specifically about eating bikurim and eating kachim outside the Azara. The Mishnah, which we're saying is fitting like Reb Shimon's opinion, said, Hare Elu Halokin, these get lashed. And here you can't say, well, the Mishnah didn't mean lash, because all the cases can't be just warnings, because they're clearly cases where you get lashed. So what's going to go on with Reb Shimon? Well, he only meant to say warnings, but it actually says lashed. So how are you going to get out of that? Now, my friends, forget about everything we learned till now. Forget everything we learned till now. Okay? And instead of these five laws, instead of using Kal V'Chomer, which you really can't use a Kal V'Chomer, and the Kal V'Chomer is only to say it's prohibited and not for lashes and all this, and we say, and when he said lashed, he didn't mean lashed, he meant just afflicted. He said, no. All these, it's not via Kal V'Chomer at all. Not via Kal V'Chomer at all. It's going to be a different way of learning all five to be punished, and they're all extra. In other words, the pasuk on the one hand has to be read straight. Lo suchala, you may not eat outside your shrine. All six of those. All six of those get lashed, as the pasuk says. But we're going to show you in a minute that the details did not have to all be mentioned. And what do we mean? Now we're going to read the next part. You have to know the pasuk that was before this pasuk. That's what's important to know. We're going to change. It's no Kal V'Chomers anymore. Reb Shimon's going to maintain that all these unique cases get lashed, but he derived it with a new method. And this is the new method. Now, you see, it says in this one, you may not eat out of your gates. What? Meiser de Goncha, that's Meiser Sheni, etc. Bechoras, it lists in detail all six different types of things. So what's the Pashup Shop means? You can't do this. And each one of these six is mentioned for this purpose. Now, we got to look at the pasuk beforehand. And that's going to be the key to understanding what's wrong with this pasuk. Elakra Yisrahu. But this whole pasuk I just showed you, all the details are extra. Why? Because let's look at the pasuk that was just before this pasuk, which you don't know yet. Michti. Ksiv. It says, and this is the pasuk before these psukim. Okay? Let's take a look at the pasuk. It tells you the positive first. Now we're talking about eating things in Yerushalayim. Ve'veisim shama, you will bring to Yerushalayim, meaning in Yerushalayim. Oloseichem v'zivchem, your burnt offerings. V'zivchem, and the other offerings. Alright, that's other korbanos. Ves masros seichem, your meiser sheni. Ves trumas yetchem, your bikurim. Vinidrechem vinidvoch seichem, your todas and your shlomim. Ubechores bekarchem, your bechorchem. Vitzochem, and your sheep. You will bring them there. Yeah. Now, have we listed all six cases already?
Yeah.
Have all been listed?
Yeah.
Already. Vachaltem sham lifnei shamachem, and you will eat them all inside Yerushalayim, or further in, but at least in Yerushalayim. V'simach, will be happy with everything you have, etc., etc. Now, what has the Torah told us? You shall eat these six different types of things in Yerushalayim. Yes, it's clear?
Yep.
So, that's a positive commandment.
Yeah.
It's a positive commandment. Eat my sheni in Yerushalayim. Eat karbanos in Yerushalayim. Eat a bechor in Yerushalayim, etc., etc. It's a positive commandment. Now, when I'm going to come in the next pasuk and say, but you can't eat it outside Yerushalayim, right? Would you have to list all six in detail again, or just say, and you can't eat them outside Yerushalayim? Once I've already listed what the six are in detail, once I've told you, you must eat this in Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to come to tell you, but you can't eat it outside. Would I now say, and you can't eat this, which is it, outside? So why did you repeat the details? It just should have said you can't eat them. It could have said,
teach us something.
Lo sucha lecho osam. Then be shirecha and forget about the rest of the pasuk, because you already told them. We already know what the topic is. So this is all extra. The rest of these details can't be telling me not to eat them outside Yerushalayim. He could have just said, don't eat them.
Yeah.
So why? That's what's extra. Not that I have a Kal V'chomer and I wouldn't eat to know the law from Kal V'chomer. I've got too many words here. If it tells me I have to eat this in Yerushalayim, the next pasuk says you can't eat them. It just says you can't eat them outside Yerushalayim. Therefore, they're all extra. These words are extra. That's to teach you another halacha. And now all his laws can be learned, not by Kal V'chomer, but that they're extra, and that's a separate law that has to teach us that. That's basically what the Gemara is going to say over here. Mm-hmm. Let's close that and open this. So it says, that's the pasuk. All these details. The Torah thus commands us to eat every item on the list in Jerusalem. Accordingly, when coming to add to this positive commandment the force of a negative commandment against eating any of these items outside Yerushalayim, that's going to be, what should you write? Only, lichtov rachman, the Torah should have written, lo sucha la'ochlam, you can't eat them outside Yerushalayim. And why'd you write another 12 words, listing all of six in detail? So why did it? Must be to tell us special prohibitions that now apply. So now, mihadar mefarish bo rachman alamli, why do I need to repeat them each one explicitly when one them word would have covered it? Ela what? But to assign a specific prohibition for each and every one of them. So therefore, thus in the case of Bikurim, it didn't have to say Bikurim. Why? Because I already know from the previous pasuk the topic is Bikurim together with the other five things.
Right.
So why is it mentioning it? So it's saying, if you eat them before you recite the verses, and that's the reason the Mishnah says that you get lashed for it, right? Since it would have been, sufficient to say you may not eat them in your outlying cities. You may not eat in your outlying cities, and then mentions each other individually. It's as though the verse has stated the prohibition and then repeated it regarding every individual item. And since the repetition is obviously superfluous, Rabshon employs the device of, if unnecessary in its context, to deduce an additional prohibition. Even the additional prohibition is punishable by Malkus because it's deduced by superfluous, but not by Kal V'chomer. So Reb Shimon maintains, the main way he learned all these things, it's superfluous to say it's a lav.
Right.
So originally he said it's superfluous because of a Kal V'chomer. Well, no, it can't be because of a Kal V'chomer, but it could be superfluous because it's superfluous. It didn't have to be mentioned at all. That's right. So therefore, in the case of Tod and Shlomim, the superfluous verse forbids, on pain of Malkus, consumption of their meat before the sprinkling. In the case of before, it prefers consumption by a non-coin. In the case of Chatas and Ashram, consumption outside the courtyard. In the case of Nola, consumption under any circumstances. So that becomes the way that Rav Shimon learns that halacha. So now it's all very good. Back to square one. When our Mishnah said, if you eat Bikurim before the verses are stated, and our Mishnah said, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, and we said, why do you say only like Rabbi Akiva? You should say Rabbi Shimon. He explicitly said it, and that's what Rabbi Shimon did. From this pasuk, since they're all the details are superfluous, right. So they're not there to teach us merely you can't eat them outside Yerushalayim. It's coming to teach the unique halacha of each one, such as Bikurim before the Pesukim are read, and now it's not derived by a Kal V'chomer, but because it's just extra and superfluous, and therefore you get lashed for each and every one. And then now we can go back to that statement when Rava said to Rav Shimon, if the Zohar eats the Ola outside Yerushalayim, you get lashed five times. He really means lashed. Because since it's all superfluous, you may lash for something being superfluous. You can't be lashed by deriving it. If you're saying it's superfluous because of a Kal V'chomer, you can't lash. But if it's superfluous because it's extra, then for sure you can lash. So now it comes out that Reb Shimon, who says that the Zohar, the non-coin, who eats a Korban Ola outside of the walls, your Yerushalayim gets lashed five times. It's exactly true. You get lashed five times. A Mishnah says you get lashed for eating Bikurim before you read the Psukim. Yes, you get lashed according to Reb Shimon. Okay, that's... Now we're all good, yeah? We're all good, Reb Shimon.
Except that why did he have to use the Kal Vahomer if he knew...
He didn't. He had to go back, retract on that.
You were trying to
really what he probably said was, you get lashed for each one because it's superfluous. So I guess the Gemara thought he meant to say superfluous because of Kal Vahomer. Now we said it can't mean it's Kal Vahomer. It's superfluous because it's just extra, not because of Kal Vahomer. We retracted on the Kal Vahomer aspect, but rather use it for the superfluous aspect.
Okay.
So it's all very good. You understand? Good. What the Gemara is going to do in the next lesson is say, oh, you only get five? We could come, why didn't he say you maybe, I'll give you a case, you can get six.
Six.
In other words, why did he limit it that you only get lashed, only get lashed five? There should be other prohibitions that you can transgress. Right? So that's what they're going to say. That's going to be the next line. Gufo. Now we go back to that statement. Amar Rava. Zor she'ochel bina ola leaf de shrika chutz l'choma. The non-kohen eats the ola before the sprinkling outside the walls of Yerushalayim. L'Rav Shimon loka chamesh. According to Rav Shimon, you get five, as we explained, lashes. The Gemara is now going to ask, I'm going to give you other cases. There's other lavim in which he should get for this very act. Why'd you limit it to five? There could be six. Now that's going to be the discussion for tomorrow. And that will get us through Daf Yud Ches.
Okay.
Okay, we did it.